And she grew up in the midst of all these cries. She watched people suffer, people starve, people pass away. All of this because of the fact that they were sticking to Islam and recognizing that if they were to give up their Islam, all of this would be taken care of and they would be welcomed back into the community. Yet it was in this circumstance that she remained just as firm in her attachment to the deen. It was like every time the Quraysh challenged Islam, she stood up and became one step firmer, one notch firmer in her deen. That was what this girl did. And how old is she? 12, 13, right? Think about the 12 and 13 year olds in this day and age. Think about what we were at 12 and 13. We weren't even able to carry responsibility. Yet look at the ability of this particular child. And this is only one example, but there were many children at the time of the Prophet alayhi salam that were able to carry this type of responsibility. Now, eventually, the Quraysh themselves, what's amazing, is that after 3 years of this boycott, they themselves could not take it anymore. They couldn't take what they were doing. It pained them so much that they were causing other people to suffer in this way that they themselves had to give up the boycott. So eventually, when they gave up the boycott, the Muslims rejoiced. But there were some very difficult circumstances that were to come as a result of that boycott. Number one, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha had become so weak in the boycott that shortly after the boycott was uplifted, she actually passed away. Now you think about it. If Fatima radiallahu anha is in her early teens, alright, and she has to watch her mother pass away before her eyes, due to the fact that she is strongly holding on to this deen, you can only begin to imagine what went through her heart at that point. That was a very devastating time for her. In fact, it comes in historical narration that she was so devastated by the death of her mother, that she almost herself passed away in grief. This is how difficult the passing of her mother was upon her. And her mother was a great woman, and that's a whole separate discussion. But this had a huge effect on the Prophet alayhi salam, and it had a huge effect on Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. Now, you would think that if a child loses their mother at that young age, that now someone would need to come and support that child. You know, when a child goes through difficulty, they then expect to be supported. Right? You would say this is a poor child, 13 year old, she lost her mother, we need to come around her and hold her up, hold up her head. Allow her to be able to handle the circumstance. But instead, what ended up happening is that she became even a greater supporter for the Prophet alayhi salam. Wherever the Prophet alayhi salam went, she was at his side. And whenever he needed assistance, she was there to assist him. And she assisted him in what way? Almost like a mother. In fact, the Quraysh, they established a nickname for her, and they used to call her Abiha. Abiha in the Arabic language means mother of her father. Okay? Meaning, she acted like a mother to the Prophet alayhi salam. In this young age, she was there whenever the Prophet alayhi salam needed to rest his arm on someone, she was there to support him. Now you know that the Prophet alayhi salam, he derived a tremendous amount of consolement from his wife. She totally replaced his wife in that way, and she became a person in which the Prophet alayhi salam could confide, someone he could rely upon, someone he could turn to, someone who would support him emotionally. And instead of seeking out other people's support and saying, I lost my mom, people need to support me, she instead stood up and became someone who absolutely supported her father despite the difficulty and the trials that he continued to undergo. This created such an incredible bond between the Prophet alayhi salam and his daughter that the Prophet alayhi salam makes some famous statements concerning her. Number one, he said that whoever pleased Fatima radiallahu anha has actually pleased their Lord. Okay? And whoever displeased Fatima has displeased their Lord. And similarly, he took it a step further by saying, whoever pleased Fatima pleased me, and whoever displeased Fatima displeased me. I am of her, and she is of me. This was the type of relationship that developed because of this firm struggle that existed and the support that she provided during that difficult time. Now, amazing. At such a young age, this daughter of his became just one of the adherents of this deen. It comes in narration, historical narration, that she would be absolutely engrossed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. engrossed. Regularly should be reciting the Quran. Regularly should be assisting the poor. Regularly should be serving everyone except herself. Now you think a 13, 14-year-old, for those of you who have interacted with teenagers, most of them are absolutely consumed by themselves. I want this, my parents don't listen to that. I want this, my dad doesn't understand that. I need this, I need that. Vast majority of people at that age, that's what they're concerned with. Yet her full time was devoted to supporting the Prophet ﷺ and establishing herself in this deen. This is the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon families that sacrifice. See, these things don't come out of anything. It's not that she was something, you could say, miraculous. She was a human being. Yes, what the circumstances that Allah created were miraculous, but this was a family effort. When a father struggles in this way, when a mother struggles in this way, when the family struggles in this way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala embeds this within our children as well. It's such a common question that people will ask me. They'll say, okay, you're telling me about this woman. You're telling me about this sahaba, sahabi, whoever it might be. Well, how did they become this way? The way they became this way was not because they were magically programmed. They became this way because they grew up in the environment of struggle and sacrifice. When the parents are struggling and sacrificing, then you can expect the child to become this way. Right? When the family is completely engrossed in this, then you expect the children to become this way. And so if we want our children to learn these things, we have to ourselves become part of the circumstance. Now you say, okay, well, this type of struggle doesn't exist in this day and age. Fine, granted, we're in a different time and a different place. But look, you have the weekends, right? You can take your children and take them to a soup kitchen and teach them what it means to serve someone who is less, let's say, more needy than themselves, or is less affluent than themselves. So, but the whole family has to do it as a group. Everyone in the family needs to be struggling and sacrificing. You yourselves need to be giving away your wealth, striving for the deen, and then this becomes naturally embedded within the children as well. So anyway, this was the circumstance of Fatima radiallahu anha. She became a deeply righteous individual. And I'll tell you that her righteousness extended to regular and abundant recitation of the Quran. Now it's amazing in this day and age when we try to establish righteousness, we try to establish it in ways other than what righteousness derives from. The basis of every Muslim has to be some attachment with the Quran and some depth of prayer. There's no other way than a Muslim can expect to effectuate a change in another person or themselves or their family without such an attachment. You look at the life of Fatima radiallahu anha, deep in prayer, deep in struggle, deep in sacrifice, deep in recitation of the Qur'an. Without these things, we have nothing else to offer. What amazes me in this day and age is, starting with myself and spreading to the vast majority of the community, we lack these essential sources of energy. We don't read the Qur'an. We read the newspaper. And then we act on the deen. Right? We're excited about what's happening in Iraq, so we act on the deen. We're excited in what's happening in the West Bank and Gaza, so we act on the deen. Very little recitation of the Qur'an, very little time spent in prostration, bowing to our Lord, very little time spent in dhikr, but this is the energy that causes an individual to be able to stand up and establish the deen.